I love the Christmas season. It's a grand time. But I'm wondering how many of us have thought to give thanks during this season for our senses. And I'm not talking about the sense of staying within your budget. I'm talking about our five senses. The sense of smelling and tasting, hearing, touching, and seeing. We should give praise to God for our sense of smell. I mean, I really love the smell of a fresh-cut Christmas tree. Now, we got an artificial one, but I love the smell of just that fresh-cut Christmas tree. And, of course, I love the smell of the goodies being cooked out in the kitchen, pies, cookies. I don't know what she made, something that Nanette made. She was making them up last night. But I love the smell of goodies being cooked. But then there's that other sense, the sense of taste. As much as I love the smell of those goodies being cooked, that's right, I love even more so to taste them. But there's other senses that we have that often we take granted, of the aspect of our hearing. I don't know you, but I love the time of just being able to sing Christmas carols. And we only get to do it once a year. Now, sometimes in the summer, I'll spring it on the church family during a Wednesday night. We'll be singing some Christmas carols because I like singing Christmas carols. To hear that message about Christ and his birth, it's a blessing. And, of course, then there's a sense of touch. Tonight we have our family over, about 20 of us will gather together. And my wife has used her wonderful gift of purchasing. And she's had an opportunity to buy just a number of different gifts. And we've got them in order around the living room, and we'll watch our children, and then their children, and then their children's children to begin to open them. And that's a real blessing to be able to give and to just watch them utilize the sense of touch and just tearing into the packages. And many times I'll offer to even help them. I like tearing packages apart too. But there's one thing more I'd like to talk about this morning. Because I really want us to focus on the fifth sense, the sense of sight. And I really want to encourage you to be thankful throughout this Christmas holiday for your sense of sight. During a season that gets darker and darker so soon, I mean, I'm looking out at 4 o'clock and it's dark. Well, thank the Lord that we have those lights and those decorations during this Christmas season to light things up. Cities, homes are more now lavishly decorated. Our neighbor, wow, just moved in here this year, a couple of months ago, and I saw him up there on the roof hanging the lights. Now, they're not just lights. Man, these lights, they come off and on. And he's got them all out in the porch and all around. He's really outdone us. I thought, one of the better ones in the neighborhood. But he's upped his game, so I don't know what I'm going to have to do next year. No. But it is wonderful to have the lights. But the greatest side of Christmas is knowing, of course, that we've seen our salvation. And may we see Jesus as Simeon saw Jesus on that first Christmas and respond with the same spirit that Simeon responded with, a spirit of thanksgiving. Our text this morning can be found in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And let's begin with our reading in verse 21 so we catch the context. Luke 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Mary, she'd given birth to Jesus some 40 days prior to this event. As a perpetual reminder to his people that everybody's born in sin, God declared that a mother was ceremonially unclean. She was defiled by the birth of her child. We read this morning in Leviticus chapter 12 that a mother was unclean. She was defiled from the people for 7 days. 8 days, there would be the circumcision. And then she would continue to be unclean. She would continue to be defiled before the Lord for another 33 days or for a total of 40 days. Now, it's kind of interesting. I didn't have you read on, but in verse 5 of that passage in Leviticus 12, we're told that if you had a daughter and she was born, the mother was defiled before the people 14 days. And from God for another 66 days, or for a total of 80 days. I'll let you think about that. Does that make the girl worse than the boy? Who knows? I don't know. I don't think so from the boys I've known. But we're not told why there was a difference. But we are told that only the blood could remove their uncleanliness. And so God required a burnt offering. He required a sin offering to render this mother ceremonially clean. Leviticus chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. In accordance now with the law, they are coming and bringing their son Jesus to the temple. And we see that she's not only to get her own purification, but also there was keeping the law concerning the birth of her son Jesus. Look at verses 23 and 24. And as it is written in the law, all right, she come to do her purification. Remember back in verse 22, according to the law of Moses, she came. Now we read here, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, verse 23, it's a quotation from Exodus, chapter 13, verse 2. That's where the Lord claims that all of the firstborn of the family belong to him. Remember what had happened? He'd sent the death angel over the 10th plague. And when the death angel came over, if the Israelites were faithful and they obeyed the Lord and put the blood on the doorpost and over the mantle, the death angel would fly over and the firstborn would not die. Now, to remind them of that whole situation, they were to consecrate, listen to these words, they were to consecrate to me every firstborn male. The first offering of every womb among the Israelites, God says, belongs to me, whether man or animal. Exodus 13, verse 2. So this son was to become God's servant in the tabernacle, or later in the temple. Every son was to do that. But now wait, later they instituted the Levitical priesthood in the family of Aaron, the Levites. They would render service unto the Lord. So at that time what happened was they were to redeem every man child with 5 shekels of silver. We know that from Numbers 18, verses 15 and 16. The sacrifice they make to obtain Mary's purification, it's not a lamb. Now, normally it was a lamb. But here we read that it's what? A pair of turtle doves. Now, why turtle doves? Well, God made an exception for those who were poor to give that type of sacrifice. So we note right off the bat, Mary, Joseph, they're not a rich couple. They're giving the bare minimum for an offering. That's for her. But wait a minute. We also note that Joseph and Mary, in keeping the law of Moses, they come to Jerusalem. They come offering the sacrifice for her. But they also no doubt have shekels to redeem the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon, this is where we come to Simeon. He's serving in the temple. It's his turn to serve. And he's about to behold God's salvation. Look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man, he was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, in this one verse, we see five things about Simeon, all right? First of all, he's a man of Jerusalem, all right? He is just. In other words, he was righteous in that he observed the laws of God. He was devout. Now, he demonstrated his reverence towards God. And fourthly, he was waiting for the consolation, that's also translated comfort, of Israel. Simeon is described here as waiting for the Messiah, the Comforter, the one who would comfort the nation of Israel. And then finally, where we read here that he was full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was upon him. Now, how was this man influenced by the Holy Ghost? Watch what happens in verse 26. We read these words. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. The Holy Ghost had given to him a very special revelation that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's anointed. Interesting, in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus, now he's talking to his disciples, and here's what he says. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. So we know that the Holy Spirit indeed is a teacher. He is a guide. He illuminates to us the things of God. Here, unto Simeon, he reveals something very special. He was going to see the Messiah before he died. But I want you to know here in this passage, the Holy Ghost not only talked to Simon, man, he walked with Simon. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he came in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul, he declares to his readers, that the children of God, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, that you and I are to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, it'd be wonderful. Someone was looking for the purposes today. I didn't include any purpose today. I figured, let them try to make up their own. Well, here would be a marvelous purpose. You know what? I'm on a purpose to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh this coming year. And you don't have to wait till the coming year. You can start today. The more and more you and I walk in the Spirit, the less you and I will fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Man, we see things were revealed to Simeon by the Spirit. We see that the Spirit of God, he walks in the power of the Spirit of God. He comes into the temple. Surely, when you and I come to church, of all places, shouldn't we come in the Spirit? Now, that's not the only place that we should go in the Spirit. But surely we should come in the Spirit. And there's nothing wrong on a Sunday morning before you come to get on your knees and pray and ask God to bless, read a few verses of Scripture. Get your heart ready to come and to come into the temple. Come into God's home in the Spirit. Well, anyway, Simeon, he's guided, directed by the Spirit. He finds himself ministering now in the temple on this particular day to this particular family. Boy, that's lucky. No, this is providence. The child Jesus is presented to him for the ceremony of redemption in fulfilling of the law. Look at verse 28. Then took he up in his arms, blessed God, and he said. Now the word blessed is the Greek word from which we get our English word eulogy. Upon seeing Jesus, Simeon's eyes were opened to the very truth that he was holding the world's salvation in his hands. He lifts him up. He utters these praises, these prophecies concerning Jesus. First, he gives praise to God for fulfilling his promise to him. He says in verse 29 and 30, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. What a blessing to Simeon. On this first Christmas, God gives Simeon eyes to see God's salvation. The Lord's salvation was in his son Jesus, whose name, Jesus, means Jehovah is salvation. Listen to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The angel of the Lord, he says to Joseph, now concerning Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. It was revealed unto Simeon that the one whom he held in his hands was the one sent by God to save his people. Interesting. Peter, now he's filled with the Spirit of God. How do I know it? Acts 4, verse 8. He then utters these words in Acts 4, 12. Filled with the Spirit, he says this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other salvation under heaven given among men, whereby we may or must be saved. Let me read to you something. I'm going to keep my marker right here in Luke. But I am going over to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, if you want to follow me, you can turn there. And I want to read to you a little testimony concerning the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 26. Thinking about light. Thinking about seeing the light of Christ. Paul says this in Acts 26, verse 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And why was he going to Damascus? To bring professing Christians back, that he might persecute them. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for a purpose. What is that purpose? Well, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Why? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, which is in me. Paul saved, Jesus saved Paul by showing himself unto him. And then he sent him forth that he might show others the light of Jesus. In 1 Timothy 1:15, the Apostle Paul, he declares this about his salvation. Now, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Let me ask you a question this morning. Have your eyes been opened and turned from darkness to light? Have you seen God's salvation? It's been since the Christmas of 1972 that my eyes have been opened to the truth that Jesus Christ is Savior, not only of the Jews, but likewise of the Gentiles, of which I am. Listen to Simeon's prophecy as I turn back now to our text in Luke chapter 2. What's his prophecy? Well, his prophecy begins with verse 30. First he says, yes, my eyes, they've seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel. My eyes have seen thy salvation. Salvation for both Jews and Gentiles. A salvation for all. Yes, even Joseph and Mary. A Savior to the world was being presented as Simeon held him in his hands. Here is a quotation from Isaiah 42, verse 6, and also Isaiah 49, verse 6, where Simeon, he declared Jesus Christ to be the light for the revelation to the Gentiles. But he's also the glory of God to bring light to Israel. John chapter 8, verse 12, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, he is the light, what? Of the world. Light of the world. The idea of what's been now being presented, Joseph and Mary, they can hardly take it all in. For they say in verse 33, and Joseph and his mother, they marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They marveled over this prophecy that their child was the Savior of all people. But even now as they're pondering on these things, Simeon, he continues with this prophecy concerning the child. He says in verse 34 and 35, and Simeon, he blessed them. He blessed God, giving thanks to God for that child back in verse 28. Now he is blessing them, Joseph and Mary. And Simeon blessed them, and he said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon declares that this child is set. He is appointed to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. In other words, those who would receive him, they would rise with him. Those who would reject him would fall under the curse. He tells her that this rejection of her son it would reveal the thoughts, the very intents of the hearts of the people. How they rejected Christ would bear witness of their heart, the intents of their heart. Because, he says, the Son would be rejected, note, for a sign which shall be spoken against, she's going to feel great pain as a sword would pierce through her soul. Of course, this is going to occur when she would witness her son's rejection, when she would see his suffering, yes, and his death on the cross. Well, God kept his promise to Simeon. He allowed him to see his salvation, the salvation of both the Jews and the Gentiles, held in his very hands. He holds them up, and what does he say now in verse 30? For my eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, I thank the Lord again that from the Christmas of 1972, I have seen the Lord's salvation. How many Christmases has it been for you? How many Christmases has it been since the Lord opened your eyes to the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that he had provided that Savior by sending his son to be born of the Holy Ghost in Mary's womb, and therefore born without sin, born a perfect sacrifice for you and I. Romans 5:12 teaches us that the sin nature is passed down through the male. Every one of us in this room had a male father, and therefore we were born with sin, but Christ, born of the Holy Ghost, was born without sin. Therefore, that perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Have you confessed yourself to be a sinner? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you have not, let this be the Christmas that you do so. When confronted with the gospel that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, you and I either got to receive him or we got to reject him. There's nothing in between. And you've been presented once again today that opportunity to receive or reject. Have your eyes been spiritually opened to the fact, one, you're a sinner, and number two, that Christ is your Savior? If so, this should be a season given over to a whole lot of thanksgiving. I'm going to close today, and I'm going to close with a prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for my salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for the sense of sight, both my physical and my spiritual sight. Lord, I want to thank you for giving to me eyes to see and to believe that Jesus sent to die for my sins, that he rose again that third day. I want to thank you that because of my believing in him, I too shall rise with him unto eternal life. Lord, I ask of you to help me to live a life that just brings glory to you. Thank you, Lord, for another Christmas. A Christmas whereby I have the opportunity to enjoy the sight of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, thank you. Amen.